Hello, everybody. My name is Chris Ware, and this is a new podcast series that I am making. It's going to be similar in style to something that I created about a year ago on the Gemini protocol, on my little Gemini capsule called Aprilcast. This, as of yet, doesn't really have a name, so any name suggestions, please feel free to let me know. But I guess I'm going to call it Marchcast for the duration, or for the interim, I guess, because tradition and so forth. I suppose before I get started, you can find all of the contact details and all that kind of stuff on my website, chrisware.wales. That includes like email and Fediverse/Mastodon handles, all that kind of stuff, and other places I make content online. So if you're ever looking for like the central point of what you need to know about me online, chrisware.wales. Yes, it is a new domain. I've been thinking about getting a .wales one for quite a long time, and I read that prices for domains are going up in at the end of March, and I thought, well, you know what? You know, it's either now or later when it's more expensive. So I just thought, great, I'll crack on with it, save myself a few quid, and actually, you know, book up the full 10 years for it. Just so I can get the best value for money, really. Chrisware.uk still does work, and I quite like the Nominet. Nominet is the registrar for the UK-based domain names, and they're pretty good. They're a non-profit that generally are quite good at what they do, which is why I tend to go with the more regional level domains rather than the .coms, .orgs, and .nets. So there. Feel free to get in touch with email or through the Fediverse. Now, there is actually something that sparked this new series, which we've been collectively moaning about on the Fediverse now for today, which is, of course, Bandcamp being bought out by Epic Games, which is a bit of a shame. Those of you that don't know Epic Games, they are the company behind Fortnite. They are owned between Tim Sweeney and Tencent. Tencent being a pretty large conglomerate that owns a lot of things, which is and generally speaking, in my personal humble opinion, good things don't generally happen when a conglomerate buys out a smaller company. But also I'm finding nowadays that more often than not it's almost an inevitability. It just seems to be the way that all businesses seem to want to trend, that every business has this sort of this exit strategy or this on-ramp onto a, you know, more corporate future. And it does kind of feel, just on an emotional level, that we've lost our David in a sea of Goliaths, and it's a bit of a blow. Now, we kind of saw this coming because, you know, it's what attracted us to Bandcamp in the first place. It's the place where you can reasonably download music in a format of your choice. You can take it with you. So whatever happens to Bandcamp as a company, you still got the product that you purchased. Great. And as well as that, you have also given a decent revenue share to the creators themselves. Again, another win. Now, so far, they say that they're going to carry on operating independently as a company. But they also say that the reason that they were bought out was because being part of a larger conglomerate, or being part of, you know, the Epic Games family, is going to allow them to supercharge their monetization practices. They're going to be able to sell you more merch. They're going to be able to improve the app. They're going to do all of this wonderful stuff. When really, I guess, what we really wanted from Bandcamp all along was just to buy music and make sure artists get a good share. If we wanted discoverability, we'd have gone to Spotify. Maybe Amazon Music. Let's not forget, of course, that Amazon Music does let you download an MP3 as well. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say they probably do not give as good of a share of revenue to the creator. That's just a hunch. I haven't done the research on that one. But you know, I think I am going to be wary of Bandcamp as a company. I know they're still the least worst option. Some people have been saying that they're still the least worst option. For how long? And I think the process will be slow, right? I think people know, I think Bandcamp know that people are pretty suspicious and not too pleased about this. So they're gonna take things slow. There will be a slow change of pace. But I do think we'll fundamentally lose the ethical practices that made Bandcamp what it was. There are some things we can fight back. We may have lost Bandcamp. We don't know that for certain, but we can assume it, I guess, right? But. I was doing a bit of research today, right? Clickety-clacking on my keyboard there. And I was pleasantly surprised, right? Pleasantly surprised how many musical artists that I quite like actually just sell their MP3s direct off their website. Have a look, right? Have a look at your favourite artists. Just see. Not all of them are going to do it, but some of them will. Some of them will sell CDs and you can rip a CD. And also, of course, if you buy directly from the artists themselves, they're going to get, you know, the lion's share of the revenue. Usually, like payment processors, your PayPals, all that kind of thing, they'll take a share. But for the most part, you're the best deal the artist is going to get is if you just buy direct from them. So do that, right? It's not going to affect the MP3. You get the same MP3 if you buy it through Amazon or if you buy it direct from the artist. So I encourage people to try and do that. I was pleasantly surprised. I also actually had a look at some of the game soundtracks on Steam, because I'm quite fond of game soundtracks. It makes nice background music. And actually, a lot of the game soundtracks, you know, you think, oh, you'd have to play them through the Steam interface or whatever. But I went in, I looked at the local files that were downloaded. They're MP3s. I think some of them might be WAVs, but, you know, all the same, right? That is, you know, it's not necessarily us defeated in that regard. Like, our principles of actually owning the files of our music have you know, can have and will hold true. So that's not too bad. And yeah, if the worst comes to the worst, yeah, you know, like Bandcamp might be not as good as it used to be, but we can still earn the music. Maybe if we're lucky, they'll still do the Fridays, the special offer on Fridays, where the artist gets all of the money. That would be nice. That'd be really nice. But, you know, it does seem like the small business is the acceptable facade of capitalism, doesn't it? It does seem that, like, small businesses, these trendy little upstarts, they're the reason that all this public money goes to supporting the high street. Treating parts of the business sector more like they're a charity or something like that, with rather than actually just confronting the brutal face of capitalism without any kind of protection, I guess. But anyway, maybe that's a rant for another day. But it does in many ways seem that, you know, you get a small business and the only reason that they're not an Amazon or a Microsoft is simply just because they're less successful. No moral stance there, because businesses aren't moral institutions. They're machines. They are wealth centralizing machines. It's what they're meant to do. We can't really even get angry when they're doing the thing that they're designed to do. And it's, you know, you could say that the snare of Bandcamp is to, you know, to ring in people like us. And then once they've got a bit of a user base that gives their company value, then to hop onto a larger, more mainstream corporate bandwagon. We've seen this many, many times before. Think of OnlyFans, right? Where OnlyFans made its initial revenue stake off of the back of sex workers. And then when it had made enough money through that mechanism, it decided to boot off all the sex workers off of its platform and then turn it into a more family-friendly brand once it had, done its, it sort of had moved on to the next stage of its corporate life, as it were. It finds an alternative community, it exploits them, and then once it's got the foundation of that community behind it, it'll hop on to try and find more people to expand outwards to, if necessary, at the expense of the people who initially supported that business. So, yeah, never trust a company. Never. I'm upset. I'm a bit pissed off. Yeah, you know, I can't deny it. I feel a little bit like I've been sheepdogged, like I've been herded in. And I have, I guess. But we all kind of knew this was, if not a possibility, an inevitability, really. Because maybe the people who currently were running Bandcamp, you know, they're the salt of the earth. But what happens when they pass it on to the next person or the next people? And then, you know, a company, whilst it remains the same, can have the entire staff turn over with entirely different philosophies and ideals. So, again, it's always something that we've got to be eternally vigilant about. I don't want to sound like sort of too extreme or too, you know, drastic here, because at the end of the day, all the music we put money down for is still ours. We haven't actually lost anything. I think we've just had a bit of a sad reminder, that's all. I suppose when pushed for it, I will probably be buying music off Bandcamp until it becomes as bad as I fear it might be. But before I do that, I will be checking out band websites directly and seeing if they're open to selling their MP3s, or maybe even just a CD. I have a car with an old CD player in it, so I can buy a CD. I can rip the MP3 for when I want it, but I can still make use of the CD. It's not the end of the world. And that's something as well. So, you know, CDs are a thing. Still, maybe. Are they? I mean, I've seen some bands, you know, some of the bands that I follow, they sell the CDs on the website. So, you know, we've got options, and it might become a little bit more decentralized, it might become a bit more cluttered, but I guess in many ways that's not necessarily the end of the world, or even, in fact, a bad thing. We'll get by. We always do. And I think today has been a somewhat frustrating reminder of the importance of actually owning our music, really, isn't it? So, I don't know. If I want to put a silver lining on this cloud, we came out of today reaffirming a lesson that I like to think that we've always known, and maybe being a bit more stronger for it, a bit more wiser for it. Let's hope, eh? So, yes, this podcast series is back. It's, my little home away from home. And I've got to be honest, and I'm going to talk about this in a future podcast, no doubt, but I just can't help but feel that YouTube is dying, especially for smaller creators. It just seems that, you know, if you're not making your content in a studio, it's your time now. And I don't even know if this is deliberate on YouTube's part. I don't think YouTube is kicking us out. I think that in a lot of cases, it's just establishing its place in the market. I think the smaller creators, the vloggers, the people like myself, we're expected really these days to go to TikTok. TikTok is where it's at, but I'm too old for TikTok. It's weird. It's like showing up at a kid's party. It's just not. It doesn't feel appropriate for you know to be on TikTok, I guess, especially as a free software advocate, and especially as someone who tries to avoid the mobile first paradigm. You know, whatever you think about mobile phones, I think that they're philosophically speaking, there's a complexity, there's layers, there's different ways you can look at it, there's advantages and there's disadvantages and all of that kind of stuff. But what I don't like is when you're tied into a mobile phone, when you've got like a platform that really only works on a mobile phone. It restricts user choice, and end user choice is something that I imagine most of you folks listening is something that we should be working towards. And there are wins in this area. I think things like progressive web apps, for example, are a real convenient way of actually allowing us to run software on the platform that we so wish. You know, I know that people like Hex and Drew are very quick to say that the web is burned, and their arguments for it are reasonably strong, but also at the same time, as a multi-platform for apps, it's actually really quite good. The earlier days of Linux were a lot more dire than what we have today, that's for certain. So, and of course, when it comes to things like progressive web apps, it means that you know BSD can join the party. It means that maybe even Haiku can join the party at some point as well. So I do think that there is a place for them, especially the sort of the corporate apps where they want to foster that kind of a particular user interface and all that kind of stuff. It kind of does make sense, and it also allows you to sandbox apps that you don't necessarily want interfacing with the rest of your system. So there is that. But yeah, ringing it down. I feel that YouTube is dying. And even a lot of like podcasts that I watch on YouTube, a lot of programs I watch on YouTube, I see their subscriber numbers just go down. It just doesn't seem to be. And maybe it's the other content that I'm not aware of, that it's just not in my in my world. Maybe that's what's gaining traction. Maybe that's what people are moving to. Maybe people my age are just moving more towards traditional television again, like HBO and Netflix and Disney Plus and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Maybe we're scattering. Maybe, you know, maybe YouTube seems to be losing its monopoly in this area. Maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe Twitch is picking up some stuff. I've never been too fond of Twitch, just on the basis that you kind of have to be there at the particular point, you know, and all that kind of business. But, you know, some of my favorite creators that are there on Twitch. So, yeah, maybe it just comes down to the fact that YouTube doesn't have the stranglehold that it used to have. And maybe that is a good thing. Who knows? So where do I go from here? Well, you know, I'm still going to do YouTube from time to time and all that kind of business. It is where I sort of cut my teeth as a content creator. It is where I, you know, where most of you listening to this would have found me in the first place. For discoverability, you know, YouTube's still pretty good. But maybe when it comes to content, I'm going to look at stuff more like this, that I can host myself, or even PeerTube. PeerTube's exciting. Like, there's stuff in the free software world that's really, really developing in a very promising way. And I just feel I'd be remiss if I was turning my back on that for the sake of viewers and subscribers and all that kind of nonsense, especially since I don't even monetize anymore. I think monetizing is a horrible thing to do to a small YouTube channel, if I'm honest. And I would encourage any small content creators listening to this, or to actually consider the idea of actually putting off monetization until you're substantially bigger. You're not going to make enough to retire off of. You're not even going to make enough to be able to reduce the hours of work. I know exactly how many views you have to get for how little income, and it's probably gotten worse since I was last in that space. And it's. I don't know. Who's gonna wanna sit through adverts to listen to me jabber on? It's just silly. I hate it on a cultural level. I hate that just like art has become uber monetized in that regard. You know, going back to Bandcamp and how they seem to be, you know, joining the corporate conglomerates insofar that they want to develop more merch options. They want to develop their app options. They probably want to do something to do with streaming and all this kind of stuff. More money, you know. It's like, no, I want to pay good, you know, fair price for fair goods, right? I don't want to feel like I'm being farmed for cash. That it's just not the place I want to be. Not every hobby has to have an affiliate link or anything like that, or, you know, and not, you know, I don't have to keep, you know, convincing you to try out NordVPN or Coinbase or Squarespace or any of that stuff. It just seems silly. I want to make something because I have something I want to share. Not because I want to make a quick buck. And make no mistake, the smaller content creators are not making much money. You're wasting your time just watching through 30-second or minute ads to put fractions of pennies in the pockets of someone that it's not going to make a difference to their lives. And you're just feeding in to the surveillance capitalist machine. So, yeah, maybe let's give PeerTube a real chance. Maybe let's give this a real chance. Maybe let's just have a space on the internet where you don't, where your value is not your attention, but perhaps your input, your comments, the, you know, whether what, just, or maybe not everything has to have an intrinsic value. Not to be too nihilistic about it, but I don't know. We've only got a set amount of time on this world. Let's not blow it watching adverts, right? It's just silly. Silly. Time is the one thing you can't get back. So anyway, that's my little rant for today. I don't think it's as bad as it is, but I am on a very emotional level pretty pissed off that Bandcamp is going the way that it is, because it's that painful reminder, isn't it? It's that painful reminder that really, you never know which company is going to do it. You think you found a good one, and then slip through your fingers. There might be good ones out there, no doubt, but you can't distinguish the good from the bad, really, and you kind of have to assume that all companies are going to trend in the same direction. That being said, I'm not going to be all nihilist about it. I'm still going to support my boy Twitch. No, not my boy Twitch. Sorry, Twitch is not my boy. Fuck off, Jeff Bezos. You heard me. No, my boy itch.io. Itch.io. Maybe it will go bad, but again, you know, maybe it won't. And maybe we'll have this painful reminder again. But when I look at drama in the gaming world, for example, you know, your DRMs, your microtransactions, your loot boxes, you know, like, there's no end of just shit in the gaming world these days, right? Not to mention the fucking price of a game these days. It's just terrible. The state of gaming, I don't know how kids put up with it. And I think that's one of the reasons why Wordle got so popular. It was a fucking game without adverts that you could just, that didn't try and suck you in, that didn't try and get you addicted. Just like, hey, here's a nice little word game once a day. We can all share around it. It's a bit of a meme, right? Fucking love it. I love a bit of Wordle. Because it is the respite from the shit, right? I like playing Scrabble. Scrabble's a great old game. You ever got the Scrabble app? It's fucking horrible. It's fucking horrible, right? The worst thing about it, right, is that you're just like going about your day and it'll ping you on your notifications going, oh, something about Scrabble, nothing to do with the game. No one's taken a move. No one's done anything like that. It's just like, I'm just reminding you you're here. Hey, there's a Scrabble app on your phone. It's horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Not to mention that it just drains your battery. It's got so many sort of pop-ups here and shit like that. I just want to play a game of Scrabble. The version on F-Droid is just so much better. It's not called Scrabble. It's called something else. It's like a Scrabble-like game. But like, F-Droid. It's good for your phone, right? Yeah, it's actually, you know, and Wordle is just like, that's great. Wordle is also great because it's kind of multiplayer as well. People I know in the real world who I talk to face, they play Wordle and we get to share little anecdotes about how we came to find it and all that kind of stuff. Don't spoiler though. Never be a spoiler. That's just horrible. But yeah, you know what? It's a nice little thing. I'm really glad that the world kind of connected around that game. I still play it every day. I think I missed one or two days, but... And I still post my scores to Mastodon. Sorry if it's annoying. I am genuinely sorry if it's annoying, but man, I love it. It's a nice little thing that we've, a wholesome thing that we've all managed to sort of, well, not all managed, that we've, a lot of us have just kind of bonded over. And Lord knows we need these little fucking moments of joy now more than ever, right? It's, you know, and I think the thing about Wordle is that it has a lot of the things that free and open source games appeal to me about. And I think with free and open source games, we've got that genuine, meaningful systemic change. Itch.io is nice, but at the end of the day, I don't play as many games as I used to play. I am an adult with a life and jobs and I've got people to see and all this kind of business. And I just don't play games. I'm not throwing shade at anyone who does. I loved my time as a gamer. I played, God, Morrowind and Oblivion. I sunk hours upon hours every week into it. And I loved it. But now, you know, life moves on and I don't watch as much TV as I used to. I don't play as many games as I used to. And that's, you know, that's just how life works, isn't it? Maybe I'll get back to it one day. Who knows? But the games that I do play, I'm going to make a real effort to try and make them open source. There's like one or two franchises which I'm just so invested in, largely Deus Ex and Hitman. I haven't really been playing that much of the new Hitman games, right? But really, when it comes to what I'm going to invest my time in, I've been playing a couple of games of Battle for Wesnoth with Hamish. Man, that's a fun game. That's a real fun game. Shapes.io, that's a fun game too. Real good game. You want something chill? It's Koi Farm. That's pretty new. That's kind of chill. Look on Itch. Itch has got some great free and open source games there as well. Yeah, I think free and open source games are really kind of interesting. I've been meaning to check out Veloron. I think it's called that. A voxel game. And you know what? Sometimes if I want something chill, I'll just build something in Mindtest. There's some really good Mindtest servers out there where you can just spend hours upon hours just creating a world. It's beautiful. And just fostering an environment. and then enjoying it once it's built. Like it, I find Mind Test Creative Mode to be one of the most rewarding experiences in gaming. And, you know, I am not, you know, going to expect anyone else, least of all in the more, you know, normies, normal people who don't care about computers as much as we do, or at least the intricacies and philosophies there within. I'm not going to expect, you know, regular people on the street to care about free software. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It's a game. It's only a game, right? And it's fun and it's cute and it's a little breakaway from the constant monetization of every fucking aspect of our lives. It's crazy. So, it's all right. Like, our adherence to the principles behind Bandcamp have saved us from any kind of worst-case scenario. We still have the music. I actually downloaded every single album of Bandcamp today. Not that it's not the Bandcamp's going to disappear tomorrow, but it could disappear one day, and it's better to have it earlier than later, I guess. Better too early than too late. So, and also to get myself in the habit of managing my own music collection again, to actually have folders and, you know, to work out, maybe try out a few of the music players of Linux, Rhythmbox, and Amarok, I think, is one. There's loads, and they all, you know, muchly do the same. If anyone knows of a good music player from the F-Droid store, please do let me know on that side of things. I'll have a look. I've got a good podcast app, but something that plays music. I'm just using VLC at the moment, which seems to do everything I want it to do, but I don't know if I'm like missing any kind of quality of life UI improvements that other applications offer. But you know, VLC is working for me, I guess. Integrates nicely with the phone, open source of course, so there we go. So yeah, I'm gonna wrap it up now. This has been a ramble, but I think I want to do more of these kind of podcasts. They're very easy to do. I just sit down in front of a microphone and share my thoughts of the day. I don't know how often I'll do them. Hopefully maybe one or two a week is what I'm going to try and aim for. And I might try them in different circumstances or in different places, maybe with some other people. Who knows how it's going to turn out. But by and large, expect this type of thing for the most part. And yeah, I do welcome feedback either on Mastodon or on email. Those are really the two that'll catch me. Don't really make much use of XMPP these days, but if there is a big demand for it, I might fire the old client up. I'm not going to have a room again. That just requires too much moderation, too much mental space, really. And if I'm not in it, like, every day, then, you know, it just gets a bit chaotic, I guess. Okay, so that's about it for me today. Thank you very much for joining me. And, yeah, that's about it for me. Until next time, I've been Chris Swear, and you've been awesome. Toodaloo.